Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Latest news, not too much news, just more of the same. Brett Siegel says that Kuminga is not budging on the Warriors' offer of 2 years for $45 million with that team option, and where he would have to waive his no-trade clause. Has also made it known that he does not want to return to the Warriors. It's pretty much accepted that if he was to return to the Warriors, it would not be a long-term thing for either side, and that Kuminga basically wants to do things on his own terms. Lot to unpack there. First, another note in that article from Siegel is essentially that the Warriors are not really entertaining any new signing trade offers. Basically means nothing's really come across their desk. I'm sure if it did, they would at least explore it. But nothing, including from the Bulls, the Suns, the Heat, any of those teams that were initially somewhat interested, those are just more or less dead. The Kings' best offer of Malik Monk and a protected first for Kuminga, and then what would have to be either outgoing salary and Buddy Hield or Moses Moody. It does not seem like the Warriors are considering that anymore because they don't want to have to get rid of Hield or Moody. So essentially, all trades are dead at this point, and the only two options are daring Jonathan Kuminga to return on a qualifying offer of $7.9 million and calling his bluff on it, or Kuminga accepting the Warriors' two-year $45 million option. So we're going to look at what it looks like for both Kuminga and the Warriors if he were to basically go nuclear and accept this qualifying offer at $7.9 million. You know, what would that actually look like? We know it'd be ugly. How ugly would it be? And then I want to explore the two-year offer and look at it from, again, both Kuminga and the Warriors' side, and maybe a little tweak that I would add that hopefully would be a compromise to get this done. So getting into what happens if Kuminga says, hey, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to be an idiot and leave a bunch of guaranteed money on the table, and I'm going to take this qualifying offer at $7.9 million. I'm going to get my no trade clause, and I'm going to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season and basically control my own destiny at the end of this next year and go wherever I want and try to procure a bigger long-term contract. Obviously not. It's a very risky move of Kuminga. You're betting on yourself and the fractured relationship with the Warriors. I would have a hard time believing he's going to get significant or more or better playing time, given that the Warriors situation, for all the reasons we already know that they're pushing for it all now, right now, he doesn't fit the roster very well. And whether maybe he does fit the roster, but it all that matters is that Steve Kerr doesn't feel like he fits many of these current lineups and this roster. So that's all that really matters. Hard for me to believe that he raises his value. Obviously, he's risking a little bit of injury as well, but you already kind of know what that looks like from Kuminga's side. What it does to the Warriors, I'm trying to look at the silver lining here in terms of their money saved. Slight silver lining. So bear with me, a lot of numbers kind of flying your way here, but Warriors are currently at $170 million in salary. They have nine people signed, so you need to at least get to 13, preferably 14 at some point, but just say they have four more roster spots to fill. Kuminga would become that 10th player. He signs for 7.9, call that up to 178 million on the books now. The first apron starts at 195 million. What that means, and I think this is right, I've been ChatGPTing, I've been doing my research, but the CBA is so complicated, I could be wrong. What it means is that the Warriors would now be able to use their non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is up to $14.1 million, as long as it doesn't put them over that first apron, which 178 million is where they'd be at, plus about 14 brings you to like 192. So they'd be able to use that full non-tax mid-level exception. We already know that they're planning to basically give that to Horford, and what would have assumed would be the taxpayer, $5.7 million. They also would be paying Melton on a veteran's minimum at three. what I've kind of done here. So you have 14 million to play with. Assume you're still giving Horford, let's just say you still give him the 5.7. Let's assume you can add Melton in there and give him 4 if you really want to. Just call it 3 again with the vet men. Now you've got about like 5.5 million left of that mid-level exception that you can go use and offer that to essentially the best player on the market who would otherwise just be accepting a veteran's minimum, which is usually around 3 million. A little confusing, but my point is, if someone like a Malcolm Brogdon, who the Warriors have shown interest in, is comparing options and everyone's offering him a veteran minimum at about $3 million, Warriors can now say, hey, we might be able to give you four, maybe $5 million as part of our mid-level exception. You can combine multiple contracts as long as it's no more than 14.1 under that exception. So hey, between Horford, I guess you can include Melton there, but actually you don't really have to. You can just do Horford and Brogdon, anything combined for under 14 million. Great. You just went and got the best vet min essentially that you would have been able to get. And then you fill your roster with a couple more vet mins, include Melton in that if you want. Either way, put you a little over the first apron, which to my understanding, you're allowed to still do as long as you are under the first apron when you sign your mid-level exception and when you complete it. Now you can sign veterans minimums to put that puts you over, and you're just paying luxury tax on those guys. I could be wrong again, but that's how I understand it. Point being that you get a little bit of leverage in Kuminga taking less money. Obviously, it's a little lighter on Lakeup's pocketbooks, and you're not paying as much luxury tax in general, but you might be able to offer a couple million dollars more to some of these veteran free agents. Maybe you go get Brogdon and you go get like a Trey Lyles or someone else that you've been looking at that has said, maybe I'll play for you, but if money's equal, I'd rather go somewhere else. Now you can toss them in an extra $1 million and you can sign them. What does that look like for next year? You got some more depth. You have Kuminga returning, and you have no idea what you're going to get out of him. But if you can assume he's still going to play hard and still be the same Kuminga, add a couple more good pieces, and you come back a better team than you were last year, having added Horford, Melton, maybe call it Brogdon, and then who knows what else you're bringing back. GP2, Curry, Trey Lyles, a center somewhere. Who knows? Doesn't put you over the top, but that's the silver lining of the qualifying offer. Other than that, again, you're losing Kuminga after next year. He signs that offer. You can't trade him during the year because everyone knows he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after. So why would anyone give you anything of substance when they could just go re-sign him later? Only thought being, hey, somebody wants to give you know, a small piece or a small pick. Get Kuminga now, mid-season, hope he's happy there, and then, you know, you're ahead of everyone else when it comes time to trying to get him to sign as a free agent. Either way, it's very minimal return value. So essentially, Kuminga signs his qualifying offer. You're assuming you're losing him after this year, and he's, I guess, a rental for this year, and that's it. So not the best option for the Warriors or Kuminga. Okay, let's go on to the 2-year offer. So again, it's a 2-year, $45 million offer that Kuminga is not budging on. I think it makes sense for both sides, especially Kuminga. Conditions of it right now, as the Warriors have written it, is that there would be a no trade clause built into a 2-year deal. When you're extending a restricted free agent, they would want Kuminga to waive that, so he does not have a tr no trade clause. And then they also want it to be a team option in that second year. The reason being is that way he's tradable, right? If you didn't have a team option and it was, say, a player option that second year, well, now you try to trade him to somebody else, and there's no guarantee that Kuminga is going to accept that player option, and he can easily just say, nope, end of season, I'm turning this down. I want to be an unrestricted free agent. Thus, he has no trade value. It's basically the same thing as him playing on a qualifying offer. Not really much value to the Warriors. If, let's see here, say he has a player option there, he can turn it down and essentially, sorry, I just said that, but basically he can leave as an unrestricted free agent. So player option's not in the cards there. I think Kuminga should be okay with waiving the no trade clause. Reason being is, in which situation, if say the Warriors found a trade partner, I mean, Kuminga's already said he's willing to play for the Kings or, like the Bulls or the Nets or any of these teams. What in which situation would he actually block a trade? Like, I think at this point he wants to play for anyone other than the Warriors. I mean, maybe like Charlotte comes along and wants to do a trade, and then Kuminga just says no. Like, even that, I would still feel like he would just want to get out, start fresh, go somewhere new. So I actually don't think that this no trade clause needs to really be built into this. If you're the Warriors, just give it to him. I don't think that that's going to hold up much from that end. And yeah, other option is, hey, Jonathan Kuminga, I would still accept it even if there's this team option in there. Obviously, it makes you more tradable, which is your end goal. Worst case scenario, you have this team option, and in the next offseason, that team picks up the option. Hey, you're getting your full $45 million. Isn't that kind of what you are looking for anyways? That you rather than accepting a qualifying offer at $8 million and then getting a new contract at say $37 million in your first year, that adds up to $45 million right there. I would be very surprised if he gets $37 million on his next contract. So, hey, you're getting more money over the next 2 years just to take this $45 million. Also, if you're traded to another team and they have that team option and you have that no trade clause in theory, yeah, you're pretty much, be saying you're okay with going to that team. Worst case scenario, you're there for a second year or maybe like a year and a half. Really not that big of a deal. And then you're a free agent after that. So I really think that just being stuck on either the no trade clause in terms of the Warriors side or Kuminga being stuck on the team option on his side, I think both of those are something that each team can kind of come down on, and there's a way to get around that. And again, the solution would be 2 years, $45 million, give him his no trade clause, Kuminga, let them have a team option. Ultimately, I'd say it's a 95% chance that they're going to trade him somewhere. Somewhere where he wants to be is better than anywhere with the Warriors, and Warriors get a little bit of value back for him. And ultimately, that's what both teams want. And it's a weird roundabout way to do it, but that's the way to get what both people want right now, because this stalemate is no good for anybody. We already saw the qualifying offer, not very good for anybody, despite a little silver linings. So now we just sit and we wait until October 1st to see who blinks first. But again, I think there's just bad options, and then there's a whole bunch of just like mediocre options. And at this point, both sides have to be okay with taking a mediocre option, and let's just get this done. And if the only other option is, hey, Kuminga takes some sort of a deal, comes back to the Warriors, which it seems like is going to happen for next year, gets the playing time that Kerr had mentioned at one point he was going to give him as some runway to see what he has with his team. Kuminga breaks out, and then he becomes a Warrior for life, and the Warriors win 65 games next year and potentially a ring. That's always the hope. But I guess if nothing else, that dream stays alive. I'm sure Mr. Joe Lacob is still happy that we're not cutting bait yet. But again, at this point, you are pretty much dangling bait to any fish that's willing to bite. Hey guys, I did a lot of deep research on this. I've been working hard on this channel. We're growing fast. If you can give me a like, but more importantly, a subscribe, follow. We're growing. Stay on it. Stay updated on my newest videos as we head into the season. Breaking news will be coming soon, so I want to kind of keep taking this journey with you guys, and it keeps me going as well. So I appreciate you guys if you've made it this far into the channel. Have a great rest of your summer, or until I talk to you next. I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.